Morning. Today's Daf and Kedushin is Chaf Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is on the Zech and Ishmael Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We start today on Chaf Amud Beis. We're halfway down on the Amud, a little bit less than halfway down. We are just finishing up our discussion that we had yesterday. The question was how to set the price in terms of redemption. You have an Eved Ivri, and his price is fluctuating, and the Torah says that you have to redeem him. So what do we set the price of in terms of redemption? Do we set it by the purchase price, or do we set it by the residual value that he has currently? And in a fluctuating market where his price goes up and down, so the Torah gives us two psukim that indicate in two different directions. One, the Torah just says mekes miknaso, the purchase price. So the Torah seems pretty clear that it's going to be based on whatever the purchase price was. On the other hand, another pasuk says kfishanov means the residual value based on how much is left. So it seems that the Torah is ambiguous on this issue. So the Gemara's response is, well, it depends whatever the lower of the two are. Meaning, make it easy on the guy. The guy's an Eved Ivri. The guy was sold to a non-Jew. So the he sells himself, actually, I should say, to a non-Jew because of his right now impoverished state. So make it easy on the guy. So allow the guy to be redeemed on whatever the lesser price is, either the purchase price or the current residual value. So the to which the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Meaning, where exactly can we see that that's the right way to understand the discrepancy between the two psukim? In fact, the Gemara yesterday constructed a very long argument that one can make the argument, no, don't go with the lesser of the price, go with the higher price. In fact, the Gemara says if you consider, and we spent a good amount of time yesterday considering, that the reason why he got into this position is not because, you know, fate and luck and, you know, it's just, you know, that's just the way it happened. But rather, the Gemara said yesterday, it has to do with his actions. His actions were the result of chait that he did, and as a result of the chait, so then one thing led to another, which led to another. And as I mentioned yesterday, if you go through the Parsha and Bahar, so the way the Gemara understands the Parsha and Bahar, it's like a progression. Well, he's going to have to sell his property. Then he's going to have to sell his house. Then he's going to have to sell his property. And then he's going to have to borrow with interest. And he'll sell his daughter, even though that's not mentioned in Parsha's Bahar. And anyway, but it's a progression. And all this, and eventually, he's going to sell himself to a non-Jew because he was so impoverished. But all this was because he was the Gemara said yesterday, the beginning of based on the beginning of Parshas Bahar, he was getting involved in Peir Shvius. He was making a commercial activity out of Peir Shvius. So basically, the Gemara says, so now that we've explained all that, what is so compelling to say that when you redeem him based on the lower price, it should be based on the higher price? This is the Gemara's question that it had yesterday, and we are now on Chaf Amud Beis. We're just going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So the Eimagulati Eloki Echadolitam. I'm sorry. So the Achrei Nimkar Halein Jumpidya Nachman Alem Midr of Yosef Rav Chanina. So Amar of Nachman. Okay, it's towards the top of Chaf Amud Beis. It's first word in the line is Chanina. The Gemara says Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak Trei Kreiksiva. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try it this way. We are not going to make a compelling argument in terms of whether we should be Makel on him or whether we should be Machmer on him, but rather we're just going to look at it from a textual standpoint. Let's take a look at the Pesukim. Ksiv, Imod Rabos Bashanim. If there are a lot of years, but that's not exactly what the Torah says. Imod Rabos Bashanim. If there is a really long year, uksiv im maat nisher b'shanim, and then another pasuk says, and if there are a little bit of years, now v'chishe yeshanim rubos v'yeshanim uatos. Now, just the way the pasuk phrases, it comes out a little bit strange. Okay, it makes it sound like, you know, the really long years and the really short years. Now, it happens to be we're in the middle of an Ibra year right now, with an extra month, and it, you know, I guess maybe at least from an academic standpoint, it feels like a really long year. So the but okay, some years are really long and some years are really short. But of course, that's not true. Of course, a year is a standard amount. Ela nisraba kaspo mikasa miknaso nisma kaspo kafishanov. So the Gemara says, so this must be what the Torah is driving at. The Torah must be driving at the idea that If Nisra Bekaspo, the ribui over here is not going on the year, because again, the year is the standard amount. The ribui is going on his value. If the value is increased, so then Kesef Miknaso. So then we don't, in terms of setting his price for how much he's going to be redeemed for, not on the inflated value, but rather back on the original price, which was less. And then it's my Kaspo, but the other way around. What if his value goes down? So Kafisha enough, so then you go on based on the residual value. So that's the Gemara's explanation of how we know that we're always going to give him a break. Not because of any internal argument of, hey, let's be nice to him, but simply because that's the way the Psukim indicate. Hachikama, the Gemara says, Vema Hachikama, the Gemara says, okay, but we could explain the Psukim this way. Well, the Gemara says, well, maybe the Torah just simply means, look, if there are 4 years remaining, so then we're going to start, the starting point is from when he originally took the job, because he's got more years than less in terms of how many years are remaining. And let's say there are only 2 years remaining. So that's nismait. The Gemara says, maybe that's what it means. The Gemara says, no, it can't be. Imke nechtov kra im od rabos shanim im ma'at sha'ar shanim. The Gemara says, if that's what really all the Torah meant, then take out the letter base on the bashanim. My bashanim is rabbi kasba bashanim because miknason is my kasba bashanim kefishanav. The base is coming to tell me exactly what we just learned out. That the bashanim means that if there is a greater amount, not in the year, because again, the year is the standard amount, but in him, if he is valued more, so go back to the original price. If he is valued less, then based on it right now. I'm Rav Yosef, and the Gemara punctuates this entire discussion. Darshina Rav Nachman, Lani Krai Kasinai. So Rav Yosef says, beautiful. Beautiful pshat in the psukim. He darshins it like he heard it directly from Sinai. So Rav Yosef, a fan of the way Rav Nachman learned these halachas. Okay. Starting from this point in the Gemara now, you see the parentheses right beforehand that gives us a siman. It's a mnemonic to help us try to memorize the upcoming Gemara. We are going to deal with a series of questions. The Gemaras over here are, I wouldn't say complicated. Some of it's complicated, but a lot of Kal V'Chomer coming up in the Gemara, a lot of arguments being presented. But really, what it comes down to is just a series of four questions, which the Gemara is about to entertain. This is going to take us through the rest of yesterday's daf and most of today's daf. Let's begin. We have known, we have been discussing now these past couple of days, that if you have an Eved Ivri and he sold to a non-Jew, so he's redeemed. And the Torah speaks of his redemption. This is the last section of Parshas Bahar. This is everything's Perichafei in Vayikra, and we're looking now at the almost the very last section. And he sold to a Ger Toshav, right? As we pointed out yesterday, resident alien. Ola Eker Mishpachas Ger, or to an idolater. Even worse than a resident alien. Ger Toshav at least subscribes to Shavim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Okay, or it could be even a Avodah Zarah. Achrei Nimkar, after he was sold, Ge'ula Tiyalo. So you redeem him. Echad Me'achav Yigalenu, one of the brothers are going to redeem him. Ododo Ben Dodo Yigalenu, he's going to be redeemed. Omisher B'saro Mimishpachto Yigalenu. Or somebody else in the family is going to redeem him. Oisigo Yado V'nigal. Or maybe he'll come onto money and he'll redeem himself. Okay, the Torah is actually very clear. In fact, the Torah says the word Geula again and again and again. Later this morning, the Gemara is going to address the question of why does it say Geula so many times? You get the idea that he could be redeemed. Our question over here that we're going to be dealing with is a very simple question. Is it all or nothing, or is there an opportunity for a partial redemption? Okay, let's say he was sold to a guy. Again, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, living in Eretz Yisrael, subscribing to the general rules of Eretz Yisrael, so he will go out in Yovel, but he was sold to a guy, and let's say, just for argument's sake, I mean, the Gemara is going to give out numbers in just a moment, but let's just say for argument's sake that he was sold for 200, and now the family puts together some money, but all they can put together is 100. Can they do that? Can they give the guy 100? Obviously not to redeem him, because that doesn't, it's only half of its value. But in other words, can it at least get him out of half of his servitude? He'll work for 3 years and the remaining 3 years will go free. Or does ge'ula mean all or nothing? That's the question. It's very simple. The Gemara discusses. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we have gzeirah shavah. Now we know that there's another area in the Torah where the Torah talks about ge'ula, and that's de'achuza, in ancestral land. Now by ancestral land, if you sold ancestral land, If you sold the ancestral land, or if you're makdish ancestral land, so you can redeem it. But when it comes to ancestral land, it's all or nothing. So maybe over here the same thing would be true as well. Or maybe no. Maybe the gzeirah shavah would work only for it to arrive at conclusions of stringencies, but not necessarily of leniencies. Just as an interesting aside, and it is a discussion, meaning if it's a gzeirah shavah, which the Gemara makes it sound like, so then we don't normally pick and choose within a gzeirah shavah, hey, we'll take this halacha, but we won't take that halacha. That doesn't normally happen. So it's a discussion exactly how to view this. Is the Gemara over here giving us a bona fide gzeirah shavah? If that's true, so then you really need to work on how come we're selecting which halachas we're gonna take through this highway of the gzeirah shavah. Or maybe the Gemara is just—it's not a real gzeirah shavah per se. It's just simply like a mematzinu. It's like kind of like that's the halacha over there, so the halacha over here should be similar, but not because of gzeirah shavah per se. So amalei lava martasam nimkar kula v'lo chetzil hachanami nigo kula v'lo chetzil. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over there the word that's used in the Torah is nimkar, which means it's all or nothing. Here too, nigal. Nigal means either you're redeemed or you're not. And maybe the Torah does not allow for any type of partial payment. Amar Rabbayim Tim Salam Nigal Chatzayin Mishkach LaLekul UlaChomra. So the Gemara says, you know, Abai says, I'll make the following comment, and that is that let's imagine that there's such a thing as partial payment. It's not always going to help. It sometimes can be helpful, sometimes can be hurtful. So the Gemara says, Mishkach LaLekul UlaChomra LaKula. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how sometimes it can help out. Zavne BeMeya. So let's say the original purchase price of the 7 ivri was 100. So Yav Lechimshin. So your family pulled together some money and they paid 50. Okay. So Palga de Deme. So obviously that represents half of his value. As a partial payment. Okay. So first initial purchase price was 100. Family got together 50 bucks. Paid half of his way out. Vikam Amasayim. And then what happened is he went up in value. He went up to 200. Now, Iyamar Nigala Chatzayim Ivele Meyav Nafik. Now, if you're going to make the argument of Nigala Chatzayim, so that first 50 that was put down, that was not like a layaway plan. That wasn't like we're just putting the money in escrow. That was half of them was actually redeemed. And now, since he went up in value to 200, so now you got to lay down another 100. So, Iyamar Nigala Chatzayim Yavele Meyav Chamshim Vinafik. However, if you're of the opinion that Nigala that you're not partially redeemed, so that money that was put down was not towards his redemption. I mean, it was towards his redemption, but it wasn't actually the money wasn't applied to him yet, and so therefore it's $50 basically deposited, but it wasn't applied towards his redemption. And now that means that he went up in value now to 200. So if you want to redeem him, so you got to pay for the full 200. So it's 50 plus another 150, and then and only then is he going to go free. So the Gemara says, so that's how, that would be a scenario in which partial redemption would be helpful. The Gemara says, I didn't really understand what you just said. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't we just learn a minute ago, maybe about 2 minutes ago, that if there's any fluctuation in market value, you base it on the lower of the two. So if the purchase price was 100 and he went up in 200 in value, you're not going to pay 200 in order to redeem him. You only pay 100 because that's what we learned just a couple minutes ago, that we always go with his least valuable price. So the Gemara says, you're right. Kigon de okir vazalva okir. So the Gemara says, okay, the circumstance over here was It went, his original purchase price was at an inflated value. He then deflated, the market deflated, and then it went back up again. That would be a scenario in which a partial payment would work towards his benefit. Now mishkachala lechumra. So the Gemara says, and let's go lechumra. Zavnim b'masayin. Let's say the original purchase price was 200. Yav meya palgid dedame. So once again, the family put together 100 to redeem half of him. The ichsif, and then what happened was he devalued. The kama meya, and now he's only at 100. Now, it happens to be the family already paid 100. But remember, when the family paid 100, that was when he was at market value was set at 200. So they only paid out half of his value. Now, if you believe that 100 was already applied towards him, so that now means that half of him was redeemed, but half of him wasn't. And now, in order to redeem him, you have to pay for his other half. However, if that money that you gave was not applied, but it's just simply a down payment, so hanach mea pikadon inu. So the first 100 that was given by the family is just simply a pikadon. Gabe yaiv le niale v'nafik. So now he wants to go free, and now he's valued at 100. So he's good. He can go free. So the Gemara Abai is just commenting that this idea of applying the partial payment can sometimes work towards his benefit, sometimes can work against him. Okay. But it didn't really answer the question. Abai was just simply making a commentary that it's not always all good. It could work out good, it could work out bad. Bamine Ravun and Barchin and Rav Sheshes Amoche Bias. Bebate Arichoma, Nigala Chatzaim, or Nigala Chatzaim. Here we go. Now, question number two. You sell a house in Bate Arichoma. Okay, here's the rules. In a walled city in Yerushalayim, a walled city in Eretz Yisrael. As long as the wall goes back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun, so it has the status of Bat Erechoma, you sell a house in that walled city, the halacha is that you have 1 year to buy it back. If you do not buy it back in 1 year, the buyer gets to keep it indefinitely. They will not go back in Yovel. That's the basic halacha regarding Bat Erechoma. So now, in that 1 year time that you have to buy it back, so, again, the question of installments. Can you be goel partially? Now, when it comes to the Eved Ivri, we were talking in terms of number of years. Meaning, if you pay half, it'll only work half the years. When it comes to a house, so redeeming half the house, it's a little bit harder to entertain. Meaning, I guess you physically will be dividing the house in half, and half you get back, and half of it, you know, stays with the buyer. Okay, anyway, so whatever. It's a little trickier. But Amocher Bais Bebat Erechoma, Nigala Chatzim, or Nigala Chatzim. So once again, question is it all or nothing? Or can we talk about partial redemption? Gula So Gula Stom is De'achuza Gamar, Mas De'achuza Eina Nigala Chatzim, Af Hainam in Eina Nigala Chatzim. So once again, by De'achuza, it's all or nothing. There's no such thing as partial redemption. So maybe the same thing would be true by Bat Erechoma based on Gzera Shava. Again, it sounds the simple pshat in the Gemara is that it sounds like a gzera shava. Oh, doma hechad de gale gale hechad lo gale lo gale. The Gemara says, or maybe not. Maybe by Bate Arichama, the Torah is not as explicit as it is by Steachuza, and so therefore there's opening to say that there is a partial redemption by Bate Arichama. Amar lema mejoshes Rabbi Shimon nishma shelova vegol vegol lechatzaim. So the Gemara says, well, based on the teaching of Rabbi Shimon, so we will learn that for Bate Arichama, if you don't have the money to redeem it, you can either borrow in order to pay, right? Which is, you know, the traditional way of how people buy houses here in this country. So it's not cash. It's, you know, borrow or go lechatzayim. So we're going to see from Rabbi Shimon that I think he can do it by Bate Arichama. Detanya, the Gemara says, and let's go through now the Braisa of Rabbi Shimon. Im goel yigal melam ishalov v'goel lechatzayim. The double language in the Torah indicates that yes. If you're makdish steachuza, you sanctify your steachuza. So the Rabbi Shimon is going to teach us that to redeem it. So once again, you could borrow money to redeem it. You don't have to. You don't have to use cash, and you can also redeem part of it. And the Gemara says, "And how do I know it? I'm a Rabbi Shimon Matam. Lefisha matzina b'mochers de'achuza shi'afik kocha shemigia yovel v'lo nigala chozer slabalam biyovel hore kocha sheino lova v'gol v'gol lechatzayin." So the Gemara. So Rabbi Shimon's argument goes like this. Look. What you have to look at is basically about the balance sheet. When it comes to selling your property in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to get it back. Yovel's going to come, you're going to get it back. So therefore, since on the other end you're going to get it back, so the Torah says on the front end, if you want to redeem it, it's got to be all or nothing. Meaning, since you get a benefit on one side, so the Torah counterbalances that with a chumrah of, hey, if you want to redeem it, you got to put up all the money and cash also, not credit. So matish shahar kocha shemiga yovav alone galah yotzal lekohanim biyovel. So yafa kocha shalava v'goa v'goa lechatzayim. So when it comes to matish steachuza, so the halacha goes like this: if you sanctify your field, meaning it now belongs to Hekdesh, and it's not redeemed by the Yovel year, you lose the land. The land does not come back to you. The land only comes back to you when you sell the land. Mocher Steachuza. But Maktish Steachuza, the land does not come back to you. It's going to go by the Kohanim. So now you understand the counterbalance. So the fact that the land's not going to come back to you, so on the other side, the Torah is going to be Mekel, and the Torah is going to say, now you want to redeem it? And think of the consequences if you don't redeem it. You're not getting it back. Oh, under those circumstances, you could borrow to get the money in order to redeem it. Or, if you don't want to do that, you could redeem it partially. So that is the argument of Rabbi Shimon. Hai mocher bebeis abebati arichom anami. So now the Gemara says, now that we know the thought process of Rabbi Shimon, now it's just simply an application in bati arichoma. So bati arichoma, what's happening on the end? What's happening at the end is, you may lose it forever. Okay, so now employing the thought process of Rabbi Shimon, you can imagine what the conclusion of the Gemara is going to be. You can borrow the money to redeem it. You can redeem it partially. So the Gemara says exactly that point. Hai mocher b'bayis b'bati arichom agnami hova arikocha shimala lo shana tamim avlo negala nechlat. It's going to be lost in you forever if you don't redeem it within a year. Yafakocha shalava v'goal v'goal l'chatzayim. Same thing. You can partially redeem it. You can borrow money in order to redeem it as well. Eisvei the Gemara challenges. So this is now the Gemara's argument that for a house in a walled city, yes, you can borrow money in order to redeem it, and you can redeem it partially using the logic of Rabbi Shimon. Mind you, by the way, before we go on to the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon uses logic, meaning it is Rabbi Shimon that's Dorish Tam at the Krah. Rabbi Shimon's the one who is of the opinion that the Torah allows for us to understand why there's a mitzvah and what is the basis of the mitzvah, and based on that, so the mitzvah can be shaped. Right, the classic example is where the Torah talks about a mashkon, and the Torah says that in the case of a mashkon, if the person who gave the mashkon needs it at night, so you return it to him at night. What if the person doesn't need it at night? So Rabbi Shimon will tell you if he doesn't need it, meaning he has money and he has something to sleep with, so you don't have to give it. So in other words, the halachas can be shaped based on the tamei hamitzvah. So the Gemara says over here as well, according to Rabbi Shimon, if there is a significant consequence at the end, and it allows for a cool in the beginning. So Eisvei the Gemara now challenges based on the following braisa. So here now, the braisa discusses the same topic, but you're going to see in this braisa, it's not going to be the same conclusion. The Gemara first quotes the pasuk regarding Makdish Te'achuza, where you're sanctifying the field. So the Gemara says, well, let's think about this logically. Now, when you sell a property, so it's going to come back to you in Yovel. And yet, when the Torah says, in terms of redemption, it's either going to be all or nothing. Here in this braisa, the argument the Gemara goes is in the exact reverse. Look, in the case of mocher, where the Torah gives you a little bit of strength, not just a little bit, the field's going to go back to you, and yet the Torah does not allow for any type of partial redemption, borrowing in order to redeem. When it comes to Makdish, where your position is already weakened, meaning you're going to lose the land forever, so here, how does the Braisa say, what's the argument of the Braisa? You for sure don't have the ability for partial redemption and borrowing in order to redeem it. That is exactly the opposite argument that Rabbi Shimon gave previously. The Gemara then goes on. Let's finish the Braisa. So the Gemara says, now, when it comes to selling your field, so you cannot redeem it right away. We're going to learn this in Erechin, which is some time from now in Daf Yomi terminology, but we're going to learn in Erechin that when you sell a field to somebody, you can only buy it back after 2 years when it's with him. Meaning a minimum lease of land in Eretz Yisrael is 2 years. So, the Gemara says, Kochel Igal Miyad, Tomer B'Maktish Yafe Kochel Igal Miyad. So the Gemara says, now, when you're Maktish a field, it's not a 2 year minimum. You can buy back the field, you can redeem the field immediately. The moment you get into money, you can redeem the field. So, Mocher buys base, the Bryce is just simply pointing out that it's not all bad when it comes to being Maktish your field, as opposed to selling your field where you don't have the option to get it back until after 2 years. Then by Maktish your field, you could do it so immediately. So it's not all bad, so to say. You do have a strength by being Maktish Steachuza. So the Gemara says, just give me, wait, let's just get through this string. So the Gemara says, Mocher Bais Bebat Erechama Yochich. The Gemara says, okay, well, what about the sale of the house in a walled city? She Yafa Kochol Ligael. So there you can buy back immediately. And there it's not all or nothing. Sorry. There it is all or nothing. So what just happened in this Braisa? I'll tell you what just happened in the Braisa. Exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Shimon just concluded. Rabbi Shimon just concluded that his argument was, if you're going to get penalized on the back end, so you should get a little bit of cushion on the front end. If you're going to lose land forever, like Makdish De'achuza, like selling a house in Bat Yerichoma, so then therefore on the front end, you should have a little cushion, which is, you could borrow the money, or you could make partial payments. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says, if it's something like the selling of a field, well, it's not really a sale, it's really a lease, but the sale of a field, Mocher Be'achuza, where there, you're going to get it back, so therefore, no cushion. If you want to redeem it, cash. If you want to redeem it, all or nothing. Okay, so that is Rabbi Shimon's argument. This Braisa just concluded the opposite. No, in a place where I have strength, the Torah says it's all or nothing. In a place where I have weakness, for sure it's going to be all or nothing. That's the Braisa. The Gemara's answer, Lokasha. Now we're on the top of Chafal from an Aleph, HaRabbanan HaRabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says the difference between Braisa number one and Braisa number two is the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. As we explained just a moment ago, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's Dorish time of the Krav. Meaning those arguments that we just provided, since it's going to be hard on the back end, the Torah gives you a cushion on the front end. If you're going to get the land back on the back end, the Torah makes it more difficult on the front end. Meaning this idea of counterbalancing, that's time of decra. That's seeking logic behind the Torah. That Rabbi Shimon endorses. So that's the first Braisa. The second Braisa doesn't operate with the assumption that the Torah is based on some sort of logic where I can make deductions. Well, since the Torah is going to be harsher on the back end, so therefore it can be more leaned on the front end. The second Braisa doesn't operate with that assumption, and so therefore the second Braisa just simply says, look, Chumra Kula, that's all I want to know. If we're going to be machmer by Mocher Steachuza, we for sure are going to be machmer by Makdish Steachuza and Bat Yerichoma. Okay. The Gemara says Tini Chada, we're very top line of Chafal from an Aleph. One Braisa teaches us Lova Vegol Vegol Chatzain. V'tanya Idach Ein Lova Vegol Vegol Chatzain Lokasha HaRabban and HaRabbi Shimon. And now that we know this basic distinction between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon, you have two Braisas. They're against one another. That's fine. One Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon. The other Braisa is going like the Chacham. Okay. Amalei Rav Acha Berei De Rav La Rav Ashi Ikla Mifrach. The Gemara says now the argument that we gave. I can ask a simple pircha. Mala mocher bais bebat erechama shekein hara kochel ligaal laolam tomer bemaktish shiafa kochel ligaal laolam. So the Gemara says now, in our comparison that we made previously with a house in a walled city and someone who was Makdish Te'achuza, there is a notable difference in that house in a walled city, you have 1 year. And after the year is over, that's it. It's lost forever. You will never have an option to buy it back, and it's not coming back in Yovel. When you are Makdish Te'achuza, you have till Yovel, whenever that comes. Now, I know the Gemara says the word La'olam, but again, La'olam in halachic terminology means Yovel. So, but still, the point is, you have a lot of time to redeem it back. You have until Yovel. So how did the Gemara make a comparison between the two when really it's not exactly the same? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. The Kal V'Chomer, although the Braisa gave us the Kal V'Chomer comparing the two, and as the Gemara just pointed out, it's not really comparable. It's not perfectly comparable. But the Gemara says, really, encoded in the Braisa is actually a more detailed Kal V'Chomer, which the Gemara now is going to unfold. Tasted by Mehatzad. So the Gemara says, really, the Kal V'Chomer is based on using a common denominator. So the Gemara says, selling a ancestral field where you can redeem it up in La'olam, up until Yovel. And meanwhile, no partial payments. And meanwhile, no borrowing. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when you're selling a field, so remember, it has to be a 2-year minimum before you can even buy it back. So so then the Gemara says, okay, now the selling of a house in a walled city, where there, once again, no partial payments. This is Bryce number two, not Bryce number one. No partial payments and no borrowing. So the Gemara says, now obviously, the selling of an ancestral field and the selling of a house in a Bat Erechoma are not exactly the same, but look at the Tzad HaShaveh. And meanwhile, the common denominator between the two is that there's no partial payment, there's no partial redemption, and you can't borrow in order to buy it back. You need cash on hand. So the Gemara says, so at least I have the Tzad HaShaveh, the common denominator between the two, and that would lead us to the conclusion that by Makdish Te'achuza, same story. No partial payment, no borrowing. So Afani Avi Makdish Nigal Ein Lova V'Goel V'Goel L'Chatzayim. Okay, so that is the real Kal V'Chomer, meaning in all of its detail. It's really based on a Tzad HaShaveh. So Amalei Mar Zutra Mirei Derav Mar LeRavina Ikla Mifrach, the Gemara says, even in this detailed Kal V'Chomer, I still can poke a hole at it, which is Ma'ala Tzad HaShaveh Shebehem Shekein Harakochem Ligal Bishana Shnia. So the Gemara says, let's consider now, in the case of a house in a walled city, and in the sale of an ancestral property, let's consider in both of those cases year two. In year two, you don't have an option to redeem it. Now, for two different reasons, but you can't redeem it in year two. For the house in the walled city, you can't redeem it in year two because that's it. The year is over. And it's year two and then on. But at least in year two, you can't redeem it. And now let's talk about an ancestral field. An ancestral field, you can't redeem in year two. Why? Because in an ancestral field, you have a 2-year minimum before you can buy it back. So in both of those cases, you are blocked in year two from redeeming it. Now again, not for exactly the same reason, but basically, you are blocked in year two from redeeming it. So the Gemara says, that is a chumer that exists in both, which is not true by Makdish Te'achuza. When you are Makdish, your ancestral field, you can redeem it in year two. So even in this more complex Kal V'Chomer, it's still different. So Tomer b'Makdish Tomer b'Makdish Yafa Kochel Igal B'Shana Shnia. Okay. So the Gemara says, so now even the Kal V'Chomer at this point isn't great. Amalei Ravina Mishum Deikel Amemer Evidi V'Riyad Denimkar Anemkar Lo V'Kocham Nyochiach Shiyafa Kochel Igal B'Shana Shnia Ve'Ein Lo V'Vigol V'Gol L'Chatzayin. So the Gemara says, okay, what we're going to have to do is add one more variable into the Kal V'Chomer in order so that it would work. And that is, we're going to have, using the Tzad HaShaveh of selling a house in a walled city, selling a property, a Te'achuza, and the sale of an Eved Ivri to a non-Jew. In all three of those cases, no partial payment. In all three of those cases, no borrowing in order to redeem it. You have to have cash on hand. Now, in all three of those cases, once I use the tzad hashaveh, so then the conclusion is going to be, if I am makdish de achuza, once again, no partial payment and no borrowing. By me, Rav Huna bar Chinin, Rav Sheshes. Hamocher buys b'bat erechom a nigal lekrovim or a nigal lekrovim. Our next question: when you sell a house in a walled city, so once again, you have a year to buy it back. Okay, and we know that in other areas of Geula, you can have family members come in order to help you. Family members can come and sponsor you. And even if that means to force the buyer to sell it back. Is that also going to be true by Bate Arichoma? By Bate Arichoma, the Torah does not say that relatives can step in and force the buyer to sell it back. The original owner for sure can. But can relatives do so as well? That is our question. The next question the Gemara deals with. So geulaso, mistei achuza gamar, mistei achuza, eino negel sechatsayim v'negel sechrovim, afainami ein negel sechatsayim v'negel sechrovim. So once again, seems to be that the Gemara is making a gzereshava, and we know by stei achuza, if you sell a stei achuza, you can redeem it, and family members can redeem it. So maybe the same thing would be true by selling a house in a Bate Rechoma. Odilma ki ksiv a geula bechatzayin hu dechsiv bekrovim lo ksiv. Or maybe no. Maybe the Gzeira Shava is only there to teach us about that there is no opportunity for partial redemption. But in terms of who can redeem it, maybe the Gzeira Shava does not speak to that. Amarle eino nigel. So his answer, very clear, no. By Bate Rechoma, only the original owner can force the buyer to sell it back within the year, but not a family member. Eitzve, the Gemara says, Bechol Geula Titnu, Larabos Batim Ve'Eved Ivri. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa quotes the Pasuk. The Braisa does not quote the entire Pasuk. If you take a look at Rashi, right alongside where we are in the Gemara, Rashi quotes the entire Pasuk. Ovechol Eretz Achuzaschem, Geula Titnu, La'aretz. Kra Yaseirahu. The word La'aretz is an additional word. I'm sorry, Kra Yaseirahu V'lo Pirish L'mayasa. And the Torah does not tell us what exactly is being derived from this additional pasuk. So now the Braisa says it's coming to include houses and Eved Ivri. That's not a lot of information. So the Gemara says, my love, Bate Arichoma. So the Gemara says, houses over here must mean houses in a walled city. What else do you think the Braisa was making reference to? The Gemara says, nope. Lo, Bate Chatserim Behejik Sibu. We're talking about houses in your Chatser, meaning houses in non-walled cities. Houses in non-walled cities, what are you talking about? That is the same halacha as property in non-walled cities. The Torah says, al stay ha'aretz yechashev. Okay? So, ahu lekovo chova v'aliba d'Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, well, what the Brice is teaching us is that it's not just an option to redeem it, it's an obligation. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brice. V'galas memkar echa achiv. Echav. You are going to redeem the sale of your brother. Rishus. Meaning, you have an option. You don't have to redeem it, but you have the option. If a man does not have a redeemer, what does that mean? A person doesn't have a family member. Now, usually how this line of the Gemara normally ends is, we're talking about a convert. But we're not talking about a convert over here. We can't be talking about a convert. We're talking about steachuza. We're talking about ancestral property. So he inherited it from somebody. If you inherit ancestral property from somebody, you have a relative. So the Gemara says, so what is the Torah talking about? According to Rabbi Yeshua, it doesn't mean you don't have a relative. You do. It just simply means the relative doesn't want to step forward and say, hey, I'm here, I'm going to redeem the land. Because he doesn't have to. It's only optional. Rabbi Lazar, Amar Vigalas Memkar Chova. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's an obligation. How did he know that? That's exactly what we're learning out from this drasha. The drasha is coming to teach us that the relative is obligated to redeem it, assuming that he can. Okay, so that is, so our original question was, in Bate Arichoma, does the relative have an option of redeeming it? We have a Braisa. The Braisa uses the word Batim. We thought it was talking about Bate Arichoma. The Gemara says, no, it's not. It's talking about batim in chavseros. The chiddush is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that a relative has an obligation to redeem the land of his relative. Amalei rabban la ravashi, amalei ravin la ravashi, bishlam la manda, amalei rabbas bat erechama, hanu dichsev bakol. Now, if we wanted to go with our original thought that it's coming to include bat erechama, that's good because the Torah says bakol. Elamanda la rabbas bat erechatzer my bakol. But if it's Bate chatzerim, what does the word bakol mean? Meaning bate chatzerim pretty much has the same halacha as the chatzer itself. So why specifically say the word bakol? Kasha. The Gemara says, you know what? I'll give you that one. It's difficult. Kasha usually means in the Gemara. It's not a tiyufta. It's not a refutation. It's okay. It's a good point. Eitzvei abaya abaya challenges based on the following braisa. Excuse me. As we mentioned earlier this morning, if you look at the Parsha in Bahar, where the Torah describes the sale of an Eved Ivri, he's selling himself, to a guy, so the Torah there says, you got to redeem him. And the Torah actually is very clear. Okay, that's one. That's two. That's three. Three times the Torah says Yigalenu. Now, Lerabos kol ha-geulos shenigalos keseder hazeh. So the Braisa says, anytime you have a geula, it must follow this pattern. So, what exactly did that Braisa mean? Maila bat erechama ve'eved ivri. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what it means. It means that any other time you have geula opportunity, like a walled city, so it's going to follow this pattern, which is relatives can step forward and redeem the land. So to our question of, by bat erechama, can relatives come and force the redemption? Sounds like from this Braisa, the answer is yes. Gemara says, lo bat echatzer v'stei achuza. So the Gemara says, nah, don't, that's not what the Braisa means. The Braisa is making a reference to but the houses in a chatzer, an ancestral property. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Bat echatzer v'stei achuza, be'ejiksev, alstei aretz yechashev. So the Gemara says, we know this already. Meaning, you know that you can have family members step in and redeem the land. So why do I need a limud of Yigalana, Yigalana, Yigalana to tell me that by stay achuza you can redeem the land? We knew this already. So Gemara says, Kedamar of Nachma Yitzchak lekarv kodem, hachinami lekarv kodem. So the Gemara says, you're right, we knew the redemption. But we didn't know that there was a pecking order. What we're learning in the triple Yigalenu is that there is a pecking order in terms of who should be doing the redeeming. It operates in the same pecking order as discussed over here in this parsha. Heched mad Rav Nachman Yitzchak hadi by lehu. The Gemara says, now the statement of Rav Nachman Yitzchak was made on another point altogether. Not altogether. I take that back. On another point, Eved Ivri Nimka LeYisrael, Nigal LeKrovim Einu Nigal LeKrovim. Let's say you have an Eved Ivri who sells himself to a Jew. Can family members redeem him? Yes or no? Now the Torah is exceedingly clear, three times over, that when sold to a guy, family members can redeem him, but when he sold to a Jew, is the same halacha going to apply? So, right, correct. So, Ali, but the Rebbe Loti Balach Damar, Misha in a Nigal, Ba'ela Nigal B'Sheish. So, Amalo Mifrik. So the Gemara says, based on a comment made by Rebbe, we know what Rebbe's answer would be to that question. The answer is no. No. And he says, right, Misha Eino Nigal Ba'ela, if someone is not going to be redeemed, with these, meaning with family members, so Nigal B'Sheish is going to be redeemed in six. Anyway, it's a line that Rebbe made elsewhere, but his starting point is that it doesn't work. So no. So Kiti Balach Liba Derabbanan. My Yafin Schir Schir V'Lo Darshi Yigalenu Odilma Yigalenu Lezev V'Lo La'Acher. So are we going to go back to our original Gzeirah Shavah, going all the way back to Daf Yedalet, where Schir Schir tells us that all the Eved Ivries are linked together? And if there's a mitzvah for family members to redeem an Eved Ivri sold to a non-Jew, so the Gzeirah Shavah tells us that same thing would be true if he sells himself to a Jew as well. Or maybe no. The fact that the Torah persistently says Yigalenu when it comes to him being sold to a non-Jew, maybe that's the Torah telling us only in this case. Tashma. The Gemara says, well, let's see. V'chol ge'ula titnu l'rabbos batim v'avid ivri. We're going to quote this brisa again. The brisa says, every form of ge'ula, including batim and avid ivri. Ma'lav batim arechama v'avid ivri animkar l'Yisrael. Now again, the brisa doesn't give us a lot to work with. But don't you think that avid ivri means the sale of an avid ivri to a Jew? Low. I need a brisa to tease out the idea that a relative should redeem him. The Torah says it three times over. So odo do ben do do yigalenu. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. We're now on the top of chafal from the base. The Gemara says ahu lekova chova. V'afilu l'Rabbi Yoshua. No, the Torah over there tells us that it's not just it'd be a nice thing to redeem your relative who sells himself to a non-Jew, but it's an obligation to do so. And even Rabbi Yoshua, who previously, when it comes to the ancestral properties, where Rabbi Yeshua says a relative has an option, it's not an obligation, here, in terms of being sold as an Eved Ivri to a non-Jew, even Rabbi Yeshua would say that's an obligation. Then the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says Yigalanu three times to tell me that it falls in this order. So the Gemara says, and the triple language is coming to include what? Must be a house in a walled city, and an Eved Ivri sold to a Jew. The Gemara says, lo. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That's explicitly stated. So the Gemara says, what we're learning over here is pecking order, meaning that, you're right, of course we knew that a family member could redeem, but what we didn't know is that there was a pecking order. What we're learning from the triple Yigalenu mentioned by the Eved Ivri who sold to a non-Jew is that there is a pecking order, and in that, anytime there's a Geula opportunity, it's going to follow along the lines in the same pecking order as an Eved Ivri sold to a non-Jew.
Pecking order only goes through males, not females, right? Like, if sisters, I'm not supposed to.
I think it certainly seems that way. Okay, let's quickly recap. I told you, and that's it. Meaning that's the end of the sugya. I told you the Gemara is going to ask. We really came down to four questions within. Within this parsha of Geula, of redemption, a question of partial redemption, a question of family members in certain circumstances. The Gemara dealt with a number of different issues regarding the Geula opportunities by Batei Rechoma, by being Makdish Deachuza, by being Mocher Deachuza, by Eved Ivri. So a number of questions that were asked where the Torah is not clear. Do we have Gzeirah Shavah? Is Gzeirah Shavah limited Gzeirah Shavah? These are the questions that the Gemara dealt with today. Tomorrow we go back to the topic of Nirtza. We're going to talk tomorrow about the Eved Ivri who decides that he wants to stay. We're going to discuss the halachas, the physical halachas of how his ears get pierced. And then tomorrow, it's a popular daf tomorrow. Tomorrow we start with the person who goes out to war and takes home a shvuya. And okay, a big topic in tomorrow's daf. Yeah.